विविंशु श्रीमद् भागवतम् कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट 25 द हिस्ट्री ऑफ द लाइफ ऑफ अजामिल सबद्ध हृदयस्तस्मिन् अर्भके कलभाषिनी निरीक्षमानस्तल्लीलाम् मुमुडे जरथो भृशम् सबद्ध हृदयस्तस्मिन् अर्भके कलभाषिनी निरीक्षमानस्तल्लीलाम् मुमुडे जरथ भृशम् सबद्ध हृदयस्तस्मिन् अर्भके कलभाषिनी निरीक्षमानस्तल्लीलाम् मुमुडे जरतो भृशम् Hridaya, being very attached. Tasmin, to that. Arbhake, small child. Kalabhashini, who could not talk clearly, but talked in broken language. Nirikshamanaha, seeing. Tat, his. Leelam, pastimes. Such as walking and talking to his father. Mumure, enjoyed. Jarataha, that old man. Bhrisham, very much. Translation. Because of the child's broken language and awkward movements, old Ajamila was very much attached to him. He always took care of the child and enjoyed the child's activities. Responsibly, please. Because of the child's broken language and awkward movements, old Ajamila was very much attached to him. He always took care of the child and enjoyed the child's activities. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki? Here it is clearly mentioned that the child Narayana was so young that he could not even speak or walk properly. Since the old man was very attached to the child, he enjoyed the child's activities. And because the child's name was Narayana, the old man always chanted the holy name of Narayana. Although he was referring to the small child and not to the original Narayana, the name of Narayana is so powerful that even by chanting his son's name, he was becoming purified. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Iva Kevalam. Iva Naste, Iva Naste, Iva Gatiranya. Srila Rupa Goswami has therefore declared that if one's mind is somehow or other attracted to the holy name of Krishna, Tasmat Kenapi Upayena Mana Krishna Niveshay, one is in the path of liberation. It is customary in Hindu society for parents to give their children names like Krishna Das, Govinda Das, Narayana Das, and Vrindavana Das. Thus they chant the names Krishna, Govinda, Narayana, and Vrindavana and get a chance to be purified. Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimati Gopala Krishna Goswami. Namo Vishnu Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharya Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyat Krishna. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the history of the life of Ajamila, it's a very, very momentous time. When I was a young boy, when I read through the story of Ajamila, actually when I heard this pastime of Ajamila, it was so striking that every hair on my body, it just stood up like that. As we sing, Romanchakam Pa Shritaranga Bhajo. So it was so exciting to read the pastime. Because you hear about Yamadhuta, and then you hear about reincarnation, and then you hear about a person who was so sinful, but just by chanting the names of Vishnu, unknowingly, he got another chance to be delivered so that he could go back to Godhead. So what an amazing pastime this is. So Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, Svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhaya. Svalpam apyasya. Just by performing this activity, a little minute aspect of this activity, svalpam, alpam means very little. Dharmasya, our constitutional position, just by performing this activity, even unknowingly, for a little moment of time, what happens? Krishna says, trayate, I can carry you away from what? Mahat bhaya. Mahat means huge. And bhaya means fear. And what is that fear? That fear is, when we come into the material world, the fear is that I don't want to lose this freedom. That is the fear. I don't want to lose this freedom. Mahat bhaya. Krishna says, I'll wash it away. So this mahat bhaya is such a predicament for us as living entities. When we come to this material world, we're holding on to this fear. In this conditioned state, even in the Brahma Samhita, what does it state? It says, yastva indra gopam atavendriya mahosha karma bandhanu rupa falabhajana matanoti. So right from that tiny one-celled creature called Indra Gopa, which is so conditioned, just imagine somebody's in a mental asylum, right? And they have to feed that person medicine. What do? They tie that person. They have these special, equipment. I don't know what they call them. But they're tied up and they're on the bed. And four or five people come and hold on to them. And then they force feed them that medicine. So that is Indra Gopa stage. Because the consciousness level is so low that Indra Gopa is completely restricted from all sides. Completely, that one-celled creature, living entity. From that Indra Gopa, which has these limitations, to Indra, Lord Indra, Athavendra, Mahosa Karma. Why? Mahosa Karma means because of certain activities, karmic activities, from Indra Gopa to Indra, even there are limitations for Indra. When fighting with Vritrasura, Indra ran away, although he had a huge thunderbolt. And Vritrasura says, where are you coming from? Are you coming? Are you a putra or a mutra? What strong words? Are you putra or a mutra? Such strong words. Putra, Pu means, what does Pu means? There is a hellish planet. I don't remember the exact name. Pumsa Vana, something like that. Once again, Trayate, the word Trayate comes here. One who takes away his forefathers from this particular hellish planet called Pumsa Vana, something like that. One who does that, he is Putra. Such a person is Putra or son. Or are you Mutra? What is Mutra? Abominable rejections from the material body. So that is Indra's situation. So you can imagine he's also limited, he's also so conditioned. And Falabhajanamoti, how? They are completely bound by these limitations. And this binding is because Falabhajanam, because we try to acquire the results, the fruitive activities, and therefore we are in such a conditioned stage, and therefore these limitations arise. I was in New Zealand working for Sky Television, and one of the channels that I had to manage was Animal Planet. And there was this guy called Steve Irwin. I don't know if you've all heard about him. He's known as a crocodile hunter. Very famous guy. Unfortunately, he passed away because a stingray impaled him. So this crocodile hunter, he was so good at his job that he would pick up a crocodile. He would look at the weak points of the crocodile. He would know exactly at what point of time the crocodile opened its mouth, closed its mouth, and then jump on top of it, and then hold on to it. And then all the others would come running, and then they would tie the crocodile's mouth very nicely. And then about five or six of them lift the crocodile and take it from one place to the other. So even the crocodile has limitations. The crocodile has certain weak points, and these people know how to capture those weak points and force the crocodile to do what they want it to do. It's said that when a crocodile opens its mouth, it's very fast. But for the crocodile to clamp its jaws, it takes a little bit of time. But once it clamps its jaws, anyone that's caught in there, so difficult to get out, as we've seen in the Gajendra pastime of the Lord. So even crocodiles have limitations. So every living entity in this material world, we have some limitation or the other. Some limitation or the other. And with these limitations, what is happening? We are thinking, Antakale chamameva smaran muktva kalevaram. Is that even going to happen with these limitations? It's so difficult, so difficult. Is it going to happen? So somehow or other, in Ajamila's case, history, because of that Sukriti, because without any consciousness, he somehow named his son Narayana. But in this modern age, even that is so difficult. I was in Mumbai at one point of time. Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj was giving this particular lecture, and he mentioned that there are different stages to names. He mentioned, according to his experience, when he's in India, he gets to hear some interesting names, especially in villages. He gets to hear wonderful names like Rama, Krishna, Govinda, Mukunda, Murari. When he moves towards the cities, he hears some dilution there, more modern names. I think he mentioned two names. One was something Prithu or something like that. Anyway, some new names, newfangled names, but still linked to Vedic culture. But when he moved to the West, he found altogether very different names. Minty, Tommy, you know, those kind of names. And then he mentioned that when he returned to India and some of the cities after that, he found that the parents were so immersed or so enthused by these Western names that they started calling their sons Minty, Tommy. And then Maharaj mentioned, but these are all names of dogs in the Western world. So that's very striking in this age of Kali Yuga, that parents actually give their offsprings names of dogs. So it's so devastating, isn't it? So I remember when I was a child, when I was young, and we used to live in this city called Chandigarh. I moved from South India. In South India, I was born in a very typical Brahminical Vaishnava culture. So we were conducting yajnas, we had all these samskaras, And we were sitting and learning all the Vedas, and we were hearing all the beautiful chanting of the holy name. So that used to be a lifetime, a pastime. And then when we moved to Chandigarh, which is up in North India, I got a major culture shock. Because I was walking down the street and somebody shouted, "Goldie, Goldie." And I said, "Oh, Goldie, somebody must be hunting for a dog." And I turned around, he was shouting at his little son running away towards the road, "Goldie, come back." So there were names like these as well. And somebody was called Glory. And I said, okay, interesting names. But that is the influence of this age. We do not invoke Krishna's name consciously and name our offsprings like that. But in the Krishna consciousness movement, Srila Prabhupada is so merciful that he has given us this wonderful opportunity. And you see all these beautiful names of our children. So we can remember Krishna, Smaranam, one way or the other. In New Zealand, I was doing this film for a lady who was a social worker. And I introduced a few devotees to her, and she said, "Wow, what beautiful names you devotees have." This was a reflection. "What beautiful names you devotees have. I've never heard these names before." Of course, so many wonderful, beautiful names, all related to the pastimes of the Lord, all related to associates of the Lord. So because of our limitations, we sometimes consciously or unconsciously create situations that are so adverse to devotional service. Then eventually what happens? Yamaya dharma rajaya mrityuvecha andhakayacha vaivasvataya kalaya nityaya paramatmane. So person living in complete ignorance or complete passion, what happens? They dovetail all their energies to enjoy sense gratification. So just like we had the Indra Gopa, which probably has no senses at all to gratify its senses, you evolve into another stage where you have two senses. Maybe you evolve into a third stage with three senses, fourth sense, a fifth sense, you get the human body. Then what happens? Nonsense. So with this human body, we use all these senses for just conducting nonsense. So that is our situation. So this nomenclature of nonsense is so percolating, it's so difficult to get out of, so difficult. So at this point of time, when we conduct our lives in sense gratification, then how is it even remotely possible for us to remember the Supreme Lord at the time of death? Remotely possible. So difficult. But still, when Vibhishna came to meet Lord Ramachandra, he was flying up in the air with all his demons. He was dressed in demonic attire, very opulent silks. He had a big mustache, and his entourage, they had, you know, very powerful demons for coming together to meet Lord Ramachandra. All the Vanaras saw these demons and they picked up big, big stones and they started hurling at them. "Demons are coming, demons are coming." So all these stones hurt Vibhishana and he had blood coming out of his body. But still he was chanting, "Rama, Rama, 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 Rama." And Hanuman saw this and he was astonished. He ran to Lord Ramachandra and he said, "My dear Lord, this demon's coming, chanting your name, although he's hurt. What is happening?" And then Ramachandra said only one thing, and I think Prabhupada quoted that as well a couple of times. He said, even once, just once, even unknowingly, if somebody comes and says, "Please, I want your shelter," I will completely take him in my shelter and I will make sure that he's liberated. So that was Lord Ramachandra. So imagine, unknowingly, Ajamila took Narayana's name. And what was the result? The end result. He actually did see the Yamadutas. The Yamadutas are very, very fearsome personalities. So fearsome that while you're on your deathbed, when somebody has to see these Yamadutas, their blood curdles. There are descriptions given like this. Their blood curdles. They cannot talk properly. They don't relate to the present. They go into some kind of a weird reality when they see these Yamadutas. They start blurting out very crazy things. I don't know if somebody has mentioned this before, but in medical terms, they call it terminal restlessness. Have you heard about this? Terminal restlessness. In some medical terms, they call it terminal restlessness, especially when you have patients in hospitals who have cancer. They're about to die very soon. So all these medical personalities, they have amazing written articles about terminal restlessness. When a person is about to die, they go through these crazy situations. They're not subjective to present reality. They constantly talk about some personalities coming to get them. Please call the police. Someone's coming to get me. So they have these visions. So this is not terminal restlessness. This is actually Yamadutta restlessness. So these living entities have to go through all these crazy situations. In fact, I remember 2001 or 2, Harishori Prabhu sent an email in the com forums about this particular Mataji. Her name was Shubhangi. And she wrote this wonderful email, which was forwarded by Harishori Prabhu. And she mentions, dear devotees, this is my personal experience. And this is what happened. I was living in Vrindavan, but my father was terminally ill. So I had to leave Vrindavan now and then and go and support my father. And it came to such a point that at one point he really required my assistance one way or the other, because although he was an amazing, you know, sense gratifier, he had lived a big, full life gratifying his senses. But when the time came for his passing away, he somehow remembered his daughter. Please come. I have much relief when you're close to me, not when anybody else is close to me. And so this Mataji, she ran to Vrindavan again, to the US again, and she stayed with the father. She went with the daughter, maybe 5 or 6 years old. And in the hospital, she was trying her best, you know, somehow to chant the holy name for the father. She would put Tulasi Mala, but the nurses would come and take it away. And then she would put it back again, humbly. Then the nurses would come and take it away again. But she just kept repeating this process. And at one point of time, what happened? He started having this terminal restlessness syndrome. He started shouting, "My God, these people are coming to get me. Please help me. She is coming to get me now. She's got a rope. She's coming to get me." He said, "She." So when this father said she didn't quite recollect, she didn't quite place the position that the Yamadutas were actually coming. She just got a bit confused. But 6 hours later, it suddenly struck her. My God, because her daughter had come about 4 or 5 hours before and said, "Mom, come down. Father is having this attack. Come." And she went and tried to pacify him somehow. She tried to chant the holy names and it gave him a little bit of solace. But it kept occurring again and again. Till at one point of time, it suddenly struck her, "My goodness, these are actually Yamadutas," because he mentioned something about dogs. He could hear dogs howling. They say the hounds of death, if you remember. In Mumbai, I was in Sachidevi Mataji's house. They were doing some kirtan, and after the kirtan, Mataji said that her neighbor, he's just passed away, but there were some very unnatural symptoms before he died, because he was a very sinful personality. She could hear these hounds howling like crazy, and she'd never heard something like this before. But immediately after these hounds sounded their howls, what happened? The sky darkened and it was a very unnatural rainfall. And then a few hours later, she got this information that this person had passed away. So the hounds of death actually come and they sniff around before. And I mean, they come and sniff around just to pinpoint where that sinful person is who's going to pass away very soon. And then the Yamadutas come. And it's explained, the Yamadutas are such fearsome personalities with big, big tusks. So when this Mataji, Shubhangi Mataji, she told her daughter, "I think it must be the Yamadutas. That's what my dad must have seen." And the daughter said, "Yes, I know they are the Yamadutas because I saw them. I saw them hovering above granddad. And they were asked, they had this big rope in their hands and they were trying to pull him away. But somehow you put some Vrindavan dust on his forehead so they couldn't take him. And so she was amazed. And somehow that father, although he was in a very bad state, but the chanting of the holy name, the Vrindavan dust, the Tulasi Mala, it saved him completely and he passed away in a very peaceful state. He said those demons are not coming anymore. So this is reality. This terminal restlessness is actually reality, except they don't know what it is in medical terms. So this way, yannama smaranartha bhuta pishasha rogadhyamsha pranashyati. Just by chanting the holy name alone, bhutas, pishashas, rogas, everything can be vanquished. Just by remembering the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. How wonderful this is, so blissful. Here in Mayapur, we're all situated, we're all associating with devotees, and there's constant chanting of the holy name going one way or the other. We look at each other and we're remembering Krishna one way or the other. Just by looking at our dhotis and kurtas and tilak, one is forced to say, Hare Krishna. That is Prabhupada's wonderful mercy, because if Prabhupada had not given us this process, then we would not have been doing this at all. So just see how merciful Prabhupada is. Just as Krishna is so merciful, Lord Ramachandra said, just once, unknowingly, if you come and say, please, I want to take your shelter, Ramachandra says, I will completely give you my shelter. How beautiful. So this pastime of Ajamila is so strong, it's so potent, that it gives us the impetus to follow this principle very nicely. When we hear this pastime again and again and again, we simply want to chant the holy names of the Lord again and again and remember Krishna. Why? We don't want to see the Yamadutas. That's why. Yama is so powerful and so potent, it's explained that when the living entity is in that state of passing, of, you know, giving up that body, the Yamadutas come. When the Yamadutas come, they take this rope and they forcefully tie the living entity, the soul, and they rest it out of the body. There's this example given, when you have a small problem with your nail, just imagine a little bit of a nail, you use your clipper and you rest a little bit of nail from the skin. It's so painful for 1 or 2 weeks. It's so painful, isn't it? Just imagine the Yamadutas coming and forcing that spirit soul out of that body. How painful that should be. Imagine that pain. In that pain, are you going to remember Krishna? Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam yajati ante kalevaram. Is that going to happen? Just imagine that pain. What will happen? You'll be forced to remember that activity which you were most attached to. Most attached to. And because of the limitations that we have, our attachments are all around the world except where it's meant to be. The lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So in that situation, the spirit, the living entity is taken away by force, and then he's given a form which is the size of your finger. Now, within the next 10 days, what happens? The sons have to perform certain oblations called pinda. They have to perform this pinda dan. Now, if that doesn't happen, that living entity which is in preta form does not get a proper body to travel all the way to Yamaloka, which takes 348 days, nearly 1 year, to reach Yama's abode. So for that 1 year, the descendants, they have to perform certain oblations. So the Shraddha, they're important if one is following Karmakanda. So what happens? On the first day, they offer 4 oblations to the ancestors. 1 oblation of pinda is taken by the Yamadutas at that point of time to feed them. 1 oblation is immediately taken by the rest of the oblations are used by the preta, the living entity, who's on his way to the hell, to Yamaloka. He first gets a head, then the next day he gets some ears, and third day he gets, you know, arms and bodies, and the fourth day he gets legs. Like that, 10 days they feed the pinda. Then what happens? This personality, he gets a body that is conducive to traveling to Yamaloka. Then the Yamadutas, they drag this body all the way, depending on whether he was a sinful personality or not. But in Kali Yuga, even that pinda is not given to the person who's done. Even that pinda is not given anymore. So what happens? These people who have no pinda, their body becomes so emaciated, it becomes so ghora rupa, it becomes so dirty looking, dangerous looking. And they suffer in the hellish planets for years and years and years and years. Eventually, Yama is Dharmaraja. He takes complete pity on these people. And he says, okay, nobody even wants to see you in this situation. You better come to me. You serve me. And they become Yama Kinkiras, Yamadutas. Such horrific personalities. Because they have not been received, they have not been given any, offered any pinda by their descendants. They become Yamadutas. So, these Yamadutas drag the living entity and they have to go through so much torture and pain. And eventually they have to cross all these different cities to reach Yamaloka. Maybe about 16 cities if I'm not wrong. And between one city and the other, there is Vaitarani River, which is full of blood. And its current is so intense that until and unless you've donated a bull in this lifetime to Brahmanas, you cannot even cross that river. You cannot even enter that boat. And therefore, if you haven't donated a bull in charity, the Yamadutas push you into the waters of the Vaitarani and you have to suffer. And it's explained in the Bhagavatam how there are carcasses floating around and you have to hold on to the carcasses and you're so hungry that you have to eat that carcass just to cross over to the other side. There are such sharp objects floating around, it rips you to shreds, and there are birds that come and peck at you. So this is a very gruesome situation, just to cross the Vaitarani because you haven't even donated a cow or a bull. And here I am after my father passed away last year, because he was very focused in all these aspects of religiosity, mainly because he came from a proper Samartha background. He would conduct all these activities. So my brother, out of, you know, respect for him, my father was a wonderful Vaishnava. He actually gave up his life in front of his deities, Ishta deities. And he was chanting the holy name so wonderfully, with lots of support from the devotees. But he still conducted these activities because of his respect for his forefathers. So my brother also conducted it very carefully. So I went and joined him to perform these the last Shraddha. And as a mark of offering a bull or a cow, what the pujari did was he picked up a silver cow or a silver bull, representative of the original cow, and then we had to donate it to some brahmana. But of course, our position is that we simply rely on the strength of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That is the source of mayam etam tarantite. All the others, we don't pay too much attention to it. Out of some mark of respect to our forefathers, that was conducted. But our strength is focused on the chanting of the holy name. That alone will help us. How? For example, see the condition of Dhruva Maharaj. When he gave up his body, it's explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Death personified came in front of him, bowed his head, and Dhruva Maharaj stepped on the head of death and crossed over to the Vimana to go back to Godhead. That is the situation of the devotees. So death personally comes and bows, and one can step on the head of death and reach Vaikuntha Loka. Wonderful. So this way, so much stress is laid on the chanting of the holy name. There is one pastime, Prabhupada has mentioned about how a Muslim gentleman was walking in the forest and a tiger came and attacked him. And Muslims shout, haram, haram, when something like that happens. I don't know the exact meaning of haram, maybe somebody could guide me. But because that name had hara, therefore he was delivered. He was completely delivered. Just because that name had hara, and he chanted unknowingly. That is the strength, the potency of the holy name. So this way, the living entity has to go to Yamaraj, and Yamaraj has two forms actually. He has two very strong forms. One is a very fearsome form for those who have committed sinful activities. And one is a form that is full of shanta, because he's Dharmaraja. Mrityuvecha andhakaya cha. Mrityuvecha andha. Andha means complete darkness. He's the ruler of death and he's also the ruler of darkness. Vaivasvataya kalaya. So in this particular day and age, he comes in the form of time or kala. But what is he conducting? What is he doing all the time? He's constantly meditating. Nityaya paramatmane. He's always meditating on the Supreme Personality. So when he's in that mood, he comes in a very peaceful mood, just as he came to Satyavan, Savitri. Remember that pastime? Savitri, he came in a very peaceful mood to her, and he had this wonderful discourse. So like that, he has two stages, he has two personalities. The really gruesome form in Yamaloka, when they come, then he judges. There is one personality called Chitragupta. It's explained in Garuda Puran. This Chitragupta is 12 yojanas tall. 12 yojanas tall. And his palace alone is about 30 yojanas tall. So you can imagine how big these personalities are and how fearsome they are. So this way, for the devotees, they don't have to worry about Yamadutas and they don't have to worry about Yamaraj. They simply have to worry about chanting the name properly, and either the Vishnadutas will come, take them to some wonderful heavenly, wonderful Vaikuntha planet, or with Srila Prabhupada's mercy, especially when they're engaged in TOVP, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur once particularly mentioned that those who are engaged in service of the TOVP, he will personally come and take them away back to Godhead. So there are so many devotees all around the world. They're personally, somewhere or the other, engaged to help manifest this wonderful Adbhuta Mandir. So this way, our great Vaishnava Acharyas, they show so much mercy and compassion on those practicing devotional service. And they're actually guaranteeing a position for us in servitude to Krishna, in servitude to Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So this is really glorious. It's really, really glorious. Therefore, at no given point of time should we let go of the lotus feet and the shelter of the devotees of Srila Prabhupada. We must always, always hanker, somehow or the other, just one way or the other, yena kena prakarena, Krishna says, one way or the other, take up to this process of serving the lotus feet of the devotees, serving the Vaishnavas, and hearing and remembering the chanting of the holy name. So, once again, the conclusion here is very simple. One can chant the names of Krishna, Govinda, Murari, Madhusudana, because we can name our offsprings like that and we can remember the glories of the chanting of the holy name. But since Mahaprabhu has given us this wonderful chanting process of the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this particular process is no more terminal restlessness. This is restlessness in the service of Krishna. When will I be able to serve Krishna properly? That kind of restlessness is always, you know, welcome. It's always welcome. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. So if you have any questions or comments or suggestions or any corrections, please come. Do we have a microphone, please?
Hare Krishna. I've heard about the case when ghosts attack devotees. I've heard about the cases when ghosts attacked devotees, yes, and they were chanting and ghosts were like laughing,
yes,
like they were not afraid of Hare Krishna mantra. So
yes,
is that because they were didn't have enough faith, or?
That's an interesting question. So there were some ghosts that came near devotees while they were chanting. Were they attacking? No.
Yeah, they attacked.
They are trying to attack the devotees. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I heard about Indra Prabhu, that ghost tried to attack him, and
yes,
he was chanting, and
yes,
they were kind of laughing. In
yes,
his
they
face.
Were laughing, the ghosts
then,
were laughing.
Yeah, and he then chanted, he was praying to Prabhupada, and
yes,
then ghost disappeared.
Disappeared.
So, is it because, like, he was such an exalted personality, so why some ghosts are not, or some ghosts, they stay in the temple even, and they, even though deities are there, and they're not afraid? So
yes.
So maybe you can comment.
The Garuda Puran, Mahavishnu explains that some of these ghosts, they actually slip away from the hellish planets. They escape from the hellish planets. That's Mahavishnu explained in the Garuda Puran. So just like a convict escapes from prison and runs away and tries to hide, and he creates some minor disturbance here and there. These ghosts, they actually sometimes escape from hellish planets and they come and create a lot of disturbances. These ghosts, which have subtle bodies, well, actually, the spirit soul is entrapped within the mind and intelligence and false ego. And in the same Garuda Puran, Mahavishnu explains to Garuda that these ghosts entrapped in these bodies, when they die a very horrible death forcefully, they become ghosts, or they've committed abominable sinful activities, they also become ghosts. So these bhutas, pretas, pishasas, they have different forms. There's not just one ghost. There are different forms of ghosts. There is Brahmarakshasa, there is Suchimukha, there is Lehaka. There are different forms of ghosts like this. The Suchimukha has such a tiny mouth, as sharp, you know, the pinpoint, the tip of the needle, that's how big the mouth opening is for the Suchimukha ghost. And because he's constantly hungry, but he cannot satisfy himself. So he has to somehow go to those places which are absolutely unclean, like where there is urine, pus, vomit, and stool, and he tries to drink that and somehow sustain himself. So there are ghosts like that. And these ghosts, because they are in so much trouble, they constantly come and harass the other living entities. And they are very powerful too, sometimes. It's explained that they live in another dimension, somewhere where the airplanes fly. Once I heard a devotee explain, I'm not too sure, I don't have any praman for this, but somewhere where the airplanes fly. And because of some warp or some screeching sounds, etc., piercing the ether, they are able to come down to this particular dimension and trouble a lot of people. So it's explained that sometimes devotees also have, you know, encounters with ghosts. I've also humbly had some encounters in my lifetime as a devotee. I was sleeping one day. Well, I was a young brahmachari. So I was so tired after some service. From Mangalarti, I silently, you know, after Mangalarti, instead of doing japa, I silently slunk away, and then I went into my office and I put my chadar down and then I just went off into yoga nidra. Suddenly I woke up because I could see this personality sitting in front of me, a very old man. He had the stick, all white hair, and he's looking at me like that. I was so deluded, I just looked at him and I said, "Oh, a ghost," and I went back to sleep. So this way, ghosts do come to devotees. But it's also explained that ghosts, when they hear the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, they're not afraid of it. They like to hear that because it delivers them one way or the other, because it gives them a lot of satisfaction. If you remember the Gokarna story, the incident where Dundukari, the ghost, he became a ghost, right? But just by chanting the names, it gave him so much, you know, satisfaction that he was able to completely transcend that particular body. So when ghosts come and somehow try and attack devotees, it is because of our own, you know, little bit of ignorance or passion mixed with goodness, some kind of a weakness. Especially amongst teenagers in this Kali Yuga, so many ghosts attack them because they're so weak-minded. They have nocturnal emissions and they have all these crazy situations because these ghostly bodies, they come and they take advantage of this human body. Why? Because these ghosts, they do not have a proper physical body to enjoy their senses. But at the same time, they have complete sense gratification requirement. So you can imagine the amount of turmoil, the amount of, you know, aghora. It's explained, it's so intense, that desire, but they can't satisfy themselves. Therefore, they have to somehow or other take over another living entity's body and through them get that satisfaction. And they're ready to do that even if they get that satisfaction for 1 second. So sometimes you see there are personalities who try and invoke or call these ghostly beings from other dimensions to this material world. They have what is it called? Planchets and Ouija boards and all that kind of stuff. They actually come and they don't reside in the bowl or the cup or something. They actually come and take over one of these people. They don't even realize it. And they come and they enjoy that sense gratification, even for a second. Sometimes these beings come and attack you when you're fast asleep, or maybe in, you know, near sleep stage. And they come and they manipulate your dreams in such a way that you go and eat a lot, or you go and have intoxication, or you go and have, you know, sangha with the opposite sex, and they actually create it in such a way that it actually is real, but yet unreal. But they get immense satisfaction from it. That's how they get the satisfaction. But simply chanting the holy name, one way or the other, and remembering Krishna, especially when you mentioned that when he chanted Prabhupada's name, the ghost simply ran away. So you can imagine the potency of Srila Prabhupada is extraordinary. It's totally extraordinary for us. I remember an incident where I was chanting Krishna, Krishna, because these four really ugly looking green short things came and sat on me. They come in pairs. One sits, the other manipulates your dreams. I tried Krishna, 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 nothing worked. And then I chanted somehow Radharani's name and he just vanished. I don't know why. He just ran away. So there are instances like these, small little instances. So I've had some experience, not too many. There are probably other devotees who've had better experiences than I. But at the end of the day, the chanting process is what is so powerful that, like I mentioned, innama bhita vishasha preta rogha dhyamsha pranashyati. This is the potency of chanting. Narasingadev's name is very potent that way, very powerful. You just chant Hari Bol, Narahari, Narasingadev. Initially, because sometimes your body is completely taken over by these beings, you can't even move, you're stupefied. But the chanting of the holy name begins through the mind at that point of time. And that completely permeates the body. When you chant with your name, although you can't open your mouth, the chanting process completely permeates the body, and suddenly the mouth starts chanting with such force that these beings simply go and boom. So this is the potency of the holy name. One day my brother and I, we were walking to Mangal Arati. The temple was about a kilometer away. And there was this particular school on the side, the government school. So there was this big wall on the other side of the school, and we were chanting our rounds and walking towards the temple at, you know, 3:30 a.m. We suddenly heard some sound from the other side of the wall. Anklet bells. And then we realized, as we took one step, that anklet bell would correspond to our step. And we, both of us, looked at each other. We got scared. What's this? We took one more step. And my brother said, okay, let me try this. He just went, tick, 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 tick. And the anklet bells also simultaneously sounded. Tick, 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 tick. We got scared a little bit. Then we just started chanting our rounds so loudly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We walked over to the other side of the road, and then we gently turned over, took the main road, and that sound faded, but it was following us all the way. And that day, Navayogendra Maharaj, he gave Bhagavatam class, and it turned out to be on ghostly topics from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then we asked this question, Maharaj, what is this? Maharaj looked at me, my God, that was definitely a form of Mohini trying to entice you, because both of you are young brahmacharis. If you did not have the holy name, you would have been finished. So this way, the holy name is so potent. How can we even give up, you know, this chanting process? Not just because these ghostly beings will attack us or won't attack us, but simply for the reason that somehow or other, we will one day get to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead and all His associates and devotees.
Hare Krishna. I just have two very short questions. The same topic that I heard that Brahma Rakshasas, when you chant mantra, they get even stronger. Mm-hmm. But if you chant like without attention, they get weaker. Is that truth?
I'm really not aware of something like that. I know that Brahma Rakshasas are very potent. Very potent. Jayatirtha Charan Prabhu in Katikati, in New Zealand, where I was getting married that day. And Jayatirtha Charan Prabhu was conducting the oblations, the yagyas. And there was a Brahma Rakshasa sitting on the tree. There's a tree house out there in his house towards the entrance. And that Brahma Rakshasa created so much trouble. It was trying to disrupt the wedding. And he told me, that's a Brahma Rakshasa. And I said, okay. I just had my bead bound. I was going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. I was intensely chanting. But the wind got so fearsome, and it tried to rip away my mala, and I had to hold it like that. And then Sri Prahlad Prabhu came with some more devotees, and they sat and they started very beautiful Hare Krishna chanting. they chanted Hare Krishna in kirtan form, and the wind died down, and the Brahmarakshasa didn't do anything after that. And Jyoti Chacharan Prabhu explained this to me in detail after my wedding, that this Brahmarakshasa has always been troubling them one way or the other. And then he had to do certain yajnas and drive it out of his property. So, but I'm not too sure how it works with the Brahmarakshasa getting powerful by the chanting process or weaker. Maybe somebody else could explain. Yeah. I'm not too sure about that. I'm sorry.
Do Yamarutas have a chance to get out of hell and go to... Do Yamarutas have a chance to go out of hell and become human beings, or do they get delivered to... Or just like they're there forever?
There are numerous pastimes. So many living entities, they have a chance to go to hell, but even from hellish situations, they do get chances to come back. It's explained that one who conducts activities in the mode of passion, they generally take birth in this material world again. And one who conducts activities in the mode of ignorance, they go to hellish planets. And one who conducts, activities in the mode of goodness, they get a good birth. I think Prahladananda Maharaj once said, they get a good birth in London and you can do a lot of shopping. That was Prahladananda Maharaj. He has a very beautiful, dry sense of humor. So, living entities can go to hellish planets and suffer, but once again they have to come back to Mrityaloka in one form or the other, and they all get a chance. In fact, no living entity is bereft of a chance to remember the Lord's name and go back to it. Every living entity gets a chance. Every living entity. But then we have to utilize that minute freedom and, take that up. So just imagine the devotees are going out on the streets distributing the holy name so wonderfully, and so many people out on the streets are benefiting. They're all benefiting just by hearing the chanting of the glories of the holy name. So many of them are actually moving towards hellish conditions of life, but that minute process of hearing the devotees chant once, that's going to help them. That is actually going to deliver them. So this Harinam Sankirtan process is so powerful. And that's how we simply have to hold on to the lotus feet of the devotees. Never let them go. Never. Don't leave Prabhupada. Don't ever leave ISKCON. Simply take the shelter of the lotus feet of the devotees. That's all we need to do.
I was asking specifically about Yamadutas.
Yes.
That since they are like servants.
Yes.
So that's their kind of...
I got your question.
Yeah.
The Yamadutas therefore have the association of the most wonderful Mahajana of all, Yamaraj. They directly report to him. So Yamaraj is responsible for taking those people back to Godhead. Because they are directly under the association of Yamaraj as a Mahajana, therefore they have nothing to fear. All they have to do is simply follow his orders. And that is their service. That is their devotional service. The Yamadutas are actually performing devotional service under the shelter of Yamaraj, who's a Vaishnava. And he is responsible for taking them back to God. Does that answer your question? Oh, it's 9 o'clock. I'm sorry.
The experience, the devotee, we are chanting the holy name of the Lord.
Yes.
And ghosts were not going away. So, is something contradictory to devotional principle, because the Lord's name is all potent.
Yes.
If someone chants the Lord's name, then there is no chance to fear
yes.
of anything else.
Yes.
Because it's all potent.
Yes.
So, how it is happening?
The Lord's name is so potent that it is giving benefit to that ghostly being to actually remove that ghostly body and go back to the spiritual world. So how is the Lord's name not potent? Apparently, outwardly, it may look like we are chanting and the ghosts are trying to attack. But in reality, they are also benefiting. There is no doubt about that. In Garuda Puran, once again, there is this pastime of one particular incident where King Babruvahana, he was walking in this forest. He was a very rightful, very just, amazing devotee king. And he was in this forest and he was lying under this tree because he was a bit lost. So he just took some rest under this tree and a very powerful ghostly being came to him. So powerful. Babruvahana immediately woke up and he saw that it was not just this one ghost, but that ghost, big Rakshasa, had hundreds of servants behind him, servant ghosts. So he immediately took his bow and arrow and he was about to, conduct a warfare. But the ghost said, no, Babruvahana, don't worry about fighting with us. We are not here to fight with you. But because you've been chanting the glorious names of the Lord, we simply want to come and associate with you so that when you chant, we can all be delivered. Not one ghost, but hundreds and hundreds of ghosts. So they all want that. They want that chanting process. So outwardly, it may look like they're laughing and they're doing this or they're, you know, troublesome. But in reality, the devotee is benefiting. They're also benefiting. As long as the devotee is not weak-minded, then no problems. It's only when a weak-minded person is present, then the ghost attacks, comes into the body like that. Drugs, hallucinations, all that, they are so intertwined because the person is so weak-minded that they have no idea on how to conduct their daily activities by becoming a human being, even worse than animalistic form. So at no point of time is the Lord's holy name contradictory, or at no point of time is there any less power. It's completely potent, no doubt about that. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Grantraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki, Anant Koti Vaishnavrinda ki.